what we said the very beginning day. Anywhere, anytime, and no reason why we shouldn't be friends, and we love everybody. We can get along with everybody, and nothing, we don't think they're full of malice and hatred, a majority of them. We imply that a few communists doing it. But we do not agree to write a new treaty, and we do not agree to negotiate, and I've carefully kept those words out of it. But it's a very conciliatory statement. Now, I thought I'd read it to you right quick, see if it, had any... If you had any suggestions. The present inability to resolve our differences in Panama is a source of regret. Our two countries are not linked by a single agreement or a single interest. We're bound together in an American system. In the words of the Charter, which says, through mutual understanding and respect for the sovereignty of each to provide for the betterment of all. Under the many treaties and declarations which form the fabric of that system, we have long been allies in the struggle to strengthen democracy and enhance the welfare of our people. Our history is witness to this essential unity of interest and belief. Panama has unhesitatingly come to our side twice in this century, and we are threatened by aggression. On December 7, 1941, Panama declared war on our attackers even before our Congress had time to. Since that war, Panama joined with us and our sister republics, shaping the agreements and goals of this continent. We all have also had a special relationship with Panama, for they have shared with us the benefits and the burdens and the trust of maintaining the Panama Canal as a lifeline of defense of hemispheric prosperity. All free nations are grateful for the effort that we've given this task. As circumstances change, as history shapes new attitudes, we have reviewed periodically this special relationship. We are aware that the claims of the government of Panama and the majority of the Panamanian people do not spring from malice or hatred of America. They are based on a sense of the honest and fair needs. It is therefore our obligation as allies and partners to discuss these claims. Discuss is a very offensive word to them. I damned it, I know why. I want to say to review. To review these claims and to meet them when meeting them is both just and possible. We are ready to do this. We have been ready to do this from the day the first disagreement came about. We are prepared to discuss every issue which now divides us. Let's get review again. And every problem which the Panamanian government wishes to raise. We're prepared to do this at any time and any place. As soon as he is invited by the government of Panama, our ambassador will be on his way. We shall also designate a special representative. He will arrive with full authority to discuss every difficulty. He will be charged with the responsibility of seeking a solution which recognizes the fair claims of Panama and protects the interests of all the American nations in the canal. We cannot determine, even before discussion, what form that solution might best take. Now, I'm not saying pre-commitments, but that's what I'm trying to get in a nice way. So it, we cannot determine, even before discussion, even before our meetings, what form that solution might best take. But his instructions will not prohibit any solution which is fair and subject to the appropriate constitutional processes of both of our government. I hope that on this basis we can begin to resolve our problems and move ahead to confront the real enemies of this hemisphere, the enemies of hunger and ignorance and disease and injustice. I know President Cherry shares this hope, for despite today's disagreements, the common values and interests which unite us are far stronger and more enduring than the differences which divide us. That's it.
Now, Mr. President, just why do you feel it's important that you make this decision?
Because I don't think that I've ever gotten over to the people of this country, and the papers have never gotten over, the Times and the Post particularly, that from the moment this disagreement arose, we have been anxious, willing, and eager to review any problem. The only condition we have had is no pre-commitment. No, it's not. No, most of them think it, most of them, I was just talking to a lady here this morning, a very intelligent lady. She thinks that we say just to hell with them, they're a little country, and we won't sit down and review these things with you and talk with you under any circumstances. Now, that's the general attitude. The second thing is, we don't know that we can win this thing in the United Nations, and we know that we're going to just catch unshirted hell up.
We ought not to stay in them.
Well, I told him, I said you're going to wind up here and have no OS in the United Nations either. But we don't think we can. Third, I think this is a conciliatory statement.
It is.
But a very firm one.
It,
a very firm one.
But if it's made on any theory that we can't win this case in the United Nations and therefore can't afford
well, it's made in
trying. We get out of the United Nations about all, because if we can't win this case,
it's
like when even Chile was voting against them down there before we asked them to. We didn't really want them.
That's right, but she's the only one. It's made on the deck to try to get it off a dead center. Here we've got through the five now. They're leaking and they quit. So they busted up. They made the report. Now it's back with the whole 17. Now that one's over talking to the Secretary of State. And the Secretary of State's really had no authority in this thing, and the Assistant Secretary of State either, because I told him that I'm not just going to agree to negotiate a new treaty. And so it's been more or less taken out of their hands, and the ball's in my court. And I'm going to see the press, and they're going to ask me about it, and I think the best way to do it is just take the offensive and say, now, we've always been willing to do this, and we're willing now. And this is it. And
I've never seen you when you discussed it. You didn't say that.
That's right, but you're a United States senator with a college education with 40 years experience. But the average guy doesn't, and most of the newspapers don't think so. The newspaper.
Well, not the most of them. If you get the little papers, and that's some total of our subscribers, a many, they don't have a whole hell of a lot in any one of them. I've been amazed. I just looked through them. I checked through them over here in the reading room just to see them. And papers like the
by the way, I wrote that Macon fellow yesterday, well, Dayton Anderson. You suggest, I remember him well.
Yeah, well, he's a good fellow. He likes you, and he's in an area down there waiting to do you a hell of a lot of good. He's got the only papers in the middle of Georgia.
What we thought we'd do is make this statement and then say the OAS. Now, Johnson's always felt this way. Now, you go back and say to Cherry-O that they do two things. Number one, resume relation. Number two, talk. That's all we
It's
say.
All right if you feel constrained next day.
I don't feel constrained to. I just think that here he is, and we got to get something going.
There's sweat and blood down there now. You would be amazed. I guess you've got to get somewhere, but you'd be amazed at the support you've gotten over the country.
Well, I'm going to keep that. I'm going to keep that.
1,000,000%, except for this New York Times and Washington Post. It's 1,000,000%.
I'm going to keep that.
Vigorous. People just being vigorous by it. And thank God for it. That's the way that little Thomasville, Georgia, and they're not in front of you. But they started off there, had an editorial down there. Thank God for presence. At last, representing the United States, and he's sees that we entitled to consideration, and we don't have to just be a bread wagon for everybody else. It was a strong editorial the night before last. I saw a little Thomas.
Well, what we do, what I'm going to do, and I make this statement, I'm going to give it to head of the OAS. And I'm going to say to the OAS, now, goddammit, I've gone as far as a human being can go. You got to make this fella go. I'm going to put the ball back in his court. And all
I think if you'd ask those OAS people, and if you were in our shoes, what else do you think you'd do? I bet you any damn one of them say they'd do anything. They'd say, well, I'd kick the hell out of them. That's what they'd say. Because if they were in our shoes,
Dick, I don't say anything here except.
I know. If you called on to make a statement, that's all right.
Okay, goodbye.
Why you have to make one.
Well, goodbye.
All right,
then.
Goodbye.
Curtis.